Is communication the problem that you and your partner are constantly struggling with? Well, then today is part one of a three-part series on communication. We're going to show you all the don'ts, and then we're going to, over these next couple of weeks, help you correct them and have the best communication you can have.
Hello, all, and welcome to the Relationship Renovation Podcast. I am Tara Kerwin.
And my name is EJ Kerwin. And we are, we're excited because about a month ago, we had a four-part intimacy series. And what we learned from that is, one, you all love to hear about intimacy and talk about it. But we also learned that when we take a big topic and break it down into small digestible chunks, it seems to work for the audience. So we're doing that again. Today, we're launching a three-part communication series. And today is why we all suck at communication and how to get better.
And I would just like to say, because I know couples and individuals love our intimacy series, that it's really hard to have good physical sexual intimacy without the communication part feeling pretty good. So we're really excited about this.
Yeah. And really its goal is, you know, again, kind of being a little playful, you know, all the ways that we accidentally ruin conversations with the person that we love best. And I know, like, we are guilty of this 100%. It's something we're constantly working on.
We're so much better.
Yeah, but, and it just, like, it kind of sucks to have this person you adore, you love, and you can't communicate with them. And we hear that over and over from couples.
None of us wake up thinking, how can we emotionally invalidate our partner today? Yet here we are. So the part one series is all about the don'ts, right? It's really about all the things we say when we're tired, defensive, triggered, when we're trying to just survive the day. And after you listen to this, we're going to come back and show you how the same exact situation can sound and feel completely different when you have the tools.
The way the series is going to work a little bit is, in this first episode of it, we're going to talk about these don'ts. I think there's like five don'ts that we're going to identify. And we're going to, you know, dip a little bit into, like, okay, this is the don't, this is the do, but then also in parts two and three, we'll dig deeper into, like, how you do it, like how you get to that do. And one thing I realize in it is it's not just about what you say. It's also about, like, your willingness to listen to your partner doing it a different way. Because even when somebody says it, like, in sort of a healthy way, if you don't have, like, sort of an open heart and a willingness to give your partner a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, that's a huge part of healthy communication as well.
And please don't leave this episode like, all right, I'm going to start doing it the right way. It's why it's a three-part series. This is not about communicating perfectly. None of us do, but it's really about understanding and learning the tools that will make it better. Because like I said, we don't wake up in the morning like, how can I destroy communication with my partner today? Yet that's what happens.
And so much of these responses, the don't side of it, are just like instinctive responses that feel like, they kind of feel like the right thing to say because they feel honest in some way. They're just not effective, as I think what we've realized.
Right. Okay. So let's just jump right in. Okay, we have five examples, and just FYI, there's probably like 150 examples, but we're just kind of trying to have like a 45-minute podcast. So we broke it down to five.
So the first of the don'ts is a huge one, is emotional invalidation, is not validating what your partner is saying to you. So we're going to start off each time we do this with an example.
And we try to do like real life examples so it could feel really connected to, like, it. We prepped for this episode for like two hours.
It was difficult sometimes to figure it out, but it wasn't difficult to identify the areas in which we struggle to do this. So emotional invalidation is first.
Okay. So example one, emotional invalidation. Me, we'll just say me or partner one, I feel sad and frustrated when you're taking the kid's side over mine. That's like how it feels.
Well, I mean, Terry, you shouldn't feel that way. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, like, we're the parents. I'm on your side. Like, I mean, yeah, you don't have to feel that way. I got you.
So nothing says I love you like your feelings are incorrect.
Yes.
Right? So that's, let's process that just a little.
Yes. I mean, what I've learned and what I teach is that her feelings are her feelings. If she's reporting to me to them, there is a, you know, almost 100% chance that they are real to her. And so me telling her she shouldn't feel that way is, you know, what is it saying? It's saying like, it's not okay to feel that way. And in fact, don't feel that way.
So for me, why that's not helpful is because there's an immediate miss, right? But I'm wondering, why do you think, because I mean, again, we don't go there as much as we used to, but why do you think that is like, as soon as I say, wow, I feel like you didn't have my back in that moment where, you know, my daughter and I just got into like a fight.
Tiff.
Yeah, tiff.
I mean, I know exactly why it is because it's a lack of active listening. I'm listening to the, you don't have my back part. I'm not listening to the, like, I feel sad part. I skip over your feelings. I go to the point where I feel like you're telling me I'm not doing it right. And I respond to that instead.
Thank you for sharing that. Like, that's very helpful in understanding that. And so, right. So again, hopefully after listening to the three-part series, it could look like this. What I say is kind of the same. Hey, EG, I've got to let you know, like in that moment, I feel sad and frustrated. I felt like you did not have my back in that moment.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, Tara, I hear that you feel sad, that you feel frustrated, and that you feel like I didn't have your back in that, you know, difficult moment with our daughter.
Oh my gosh, that feels so good, even though that's not happening right now.
I think it works for Tara. And also, like, when I'm teaching this to a person who maybe is more defensive, like myself, and struggles with this, you notice in none of this did I admit to, like, I'm a bad person or I got it wrong or I suck. All I did was say, like, hey, everything you said, I heard you. I heard that you feel sad. Yeah. I hear that you feel frustrated. And I hear that you feel like I don't have your back. Like, I didn't stick my neck out to be like, oh, yeah, I'm a shitty partner.
And just to know, we do go way more in depth in the part two series. But so many couples miss that validation piece first, because then you get to have, right, your story, my story, and we can talk about it. But when you miss that, I hear that you're feeling sad and frustrated and you just go to like your own defense or don't feel that way.
Yeah. And I feel like also what's important to say is it's not like just this one thing solves everything, but at least it creates a runway of going deeper into a more thoughtful conversation where you actually might solve some problems. And if you don't get that first step right, you know, if you don't validate at the beginning, it's like there's no way you're going to come to a good resolution together.
Planet. Sorry, like when I sit in my sessions or our coaching sessions, we're like constantly like, hang on, before we move to the next thing, can you just validate? Because it's just, we just are so automatic. We want to go to the next. And here we are, right, as coaches, as clinicians, like before we, and they'll be like, oh yeah, like I totally forgot. You're right. It is such a skill to learn to validate before whatever the resolve has to be or whatever it might be.
And that's why you want to definitely stay tuned for the next episode where we go a lot deeper into this skill, because it is a skill.
Okay. Continuing on with examples of don'ts and then what could be's. The second one is, I never said that. Sorry, we have said that so many times. I've never said that. So let's just do an example.
Okay. Tara, You said that I never follow through on anything.
I'm laughing because I never said that. That is not true. You're making things up.
Not going to hit, right? Suddenly we're in a courtroom drama with zero evidence and plenty of emotion.
Yet we could probably stay in the same argument for hours.
Yeah, we could totally go back disconnect. And forth about whether or not she says that I never follow through on anything.
Yeah, why does that not work?
It doesn't work because at the end of the day, when I say it, I feel it. And I might be not communicating that in the best way, but there are times when I am activated by a feeling or a thought I have. I do express it in a way that's pretty emotion based, but it's true to me. Like in that moment, I feel like you think/say I never follow through on anything.
Okay, so let's try that again in the what could be in the same exact situation.
Yeah. Tara, you said that I never follow through on anything.
I get that. I know that this is a conversation we've had many times, and I could see why you feel that way. And I really do want to change that dynamic because I know it ends up where you don't feel like you get things right, and that's not what I want.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
Well, I mean, that feels good because it doesn't escalate me again, you know?
Yeah.
It feels like
it's
almost more emotive than actually like the exact words you're saying. Is it feels like you like care, and it feels like, because when you say like, no, I never said that, it almost feels like a continuation of me being like a bumbling fool who never follows through. And now I'm saying something that isn't true on top of that.
Yeah.
And so when you said that, it felt like, yeah, she's acknowledging that it really feels that way, that it feels like we're talking absolutes and I never follow through, which would be really like a crappy way to think of myself.
So really, because me saying I never said that is like I'm going into my own story, like I never said never. I'm getting super like linguistics based here. And it's like, actually, no, I have to like attune that you're feeling hurt in the moment. And that's truly your experience, regardless of mine. And so I attune to that first. And I talk about how we have to change this dynamic because I know it's something that can feel common and awful. And then I can be like, you know, my story doesn't help in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you're witnessing my story instead of instantaneously sort of rebutting with your story.
Yeah, that sounds true. Okay.
Okay.
And the third.
All right.
This is a big one.
Yeah. This one is all about accusation and blame.
So a common occurrence, well, what used to be is I don't feel safe in this relationship.
You are being so dramatic. Like, how could you even say that?
Note to self, calling your partner dramatic or crazy has never, ever, ever, ever once improved a conversation.
Yes.
But we do hear that all of the time. And we actually used to kind of have those conversations like, you're just being crazy. That's not true.
Yeah. So what, again, and be really specific here, my response to you telling me that you feel that you don't feel our relationship is safe, what about my response of you being dramatic just does not work for you?
I think if I'm sharing a statement like I don't feel safe, knowing also that I come from a lot of childhood trauma experiences, like what I really want in that moment is for the one person to have my back and be like, oh my gosh, what was it that just happened? Instead of like, no, you are crazy. So then I just want to shut myself off and not be vulnerable and not tell you that I don't feel safe, but then I know that that's not healthy because I have to be able to identify and verbalize what's happening for me in that moment, even if you feel like you haven't done anything that ruptured safety for you. Like for me, I'm just a little, maybe more sensitive. I am more sensitive to tone, to body language and all of that.
Yeah. Do you want to give me another shot?
I do want to give you another shot. EJ, I don't feel safe in this relationship.
Yeah. I hear you, Tara, and that's, you know, it's honestly hard to hear, but I understand that you feel that way, and I really want to, can I try again? Like, I'm sorry if what I said earlier really, really hurt you and felt unsafe. Can I give it another shot?
Yeah. I mean, that feels so connecting, supportive, and just to, like, say something about safety here, because we do know that there are unsafe relationships out there filled with domestic violence. And this is, for me, I still say safe. I don't say emotionally safe, but safety to me is all emotional. We haven't had any physical violence in our relationship.
Yeah. I mean, whenever we bring up the safety thing, it's important to note that there are times where people are literally unsafe in their relationship. And there's definitely almost every community has resources around that. And if you are, we definitely encourage you to take those steps to keep yourself safe. I think it's also, though, like kind of shifting back to what we were talking about, which is emotional safety.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that couples struggle with, is because sometimes when one person says, I feel unsafe in the relationship, and it really is a common vernacular, you hear it a lot.
Yeah.
Then the other person is like, what are you talking about? We've never had violence in our relationship. And so it's that's what gets you into the like, oh, you're being dramatic, or you're acting crazy.
Yeah.
But if the person, again, if they say that, you got to give them the benefit of the doubt that they feel that way.
Yeah.
And that there are a lot of dynamics that can get really, you know, cemented into your relationship that can lead a person to feel emotionally unsafe. And if you can validate that and then begin to get into a thoughtful conversation about why that's happening, that's where you can rebuild trust, love, intimacy.
Our Relationship Renovation at Home Manual for Couples is now available on Amazon for $24.99. Check it out. It's going to be so helpful. It's going to be giving you all of the skills and tools we talk about on our podcast. So please go check it out. Your relationship is so worth this. Because the idea too is, this is great for me because my reframe could be like, hey, EJ, I have to let you know, like when your eyes darted away from me, like I started to feel unsafe emotionally, because that feels like more specific, less broad. So again, whether you're partner one or partner two, making the comment or having the response, both can be changed in ways that are going to feel easier to hear and more connecting.
Yeah. And as you can hear, you know, as we move on to the next one, like, again, these are not just simple one moment fixes. They're complex, but the fixes we're talking about today, a lot of this is about validation.
Yeah.
You know, they're game changers, and they're like the opening up of really deep, profound shifts in your relationship.
Yay, we like profound shifts. Okay, so example for mind reading, I used to be queen of this, right? An example for me is like, you should have known today that I needed your support more, that you should have asked what I needed, like you knew I had a stressful day.
Okay, here we go again. All right. Tara's side of that conversation, that wasn't emotional intelligence. That was expecting her partner to have psychic abilities.
But you do have psychic abilities.
but the interesting thing about that little exchange is both of our responses were ineffective. You know, her expecting me to know what her needs are without her telling me, probably not healthy, probably not a good way to communicate that she feels let down.
Right.
Dread.
Yeah.
Here we go again. Response. That's classic, like, you know, surrender. I give up, whatever.
You know, and I think we see this a lot, especially when we're going through couples' individual timelines and their backgrounds and their histories. Like, I have all these like unmet emotional like wounds as a child, like where I just wanted people to intuit, right? Because when we're kids, we need our caregivers to intuit what we need and then provide that most of the time, not all of the time, because that feels safe. And so when we get into this intimate partnership, we're like, finally, like, and we don't think this consciously, but it's like all those needs will finally be met because they see me and they love me and they care about me. But if you don't get really good at saying what you need and the support you need almost daily, you will constantly be disappointed. And then those unmet childhood wounds will keep getting like salt thrown on them. And that's when people just feel like they're not supposed to be together anymore. And like, I thought this person had my back and they don't.
Well, and a victory for us in recent years is there are certain needs Tara has that she's become very explicit about, where I'm not trying to read her mind anymore because she's told me, and now I'm trying to be very responsive and intuitive to like, oh, she says when A happens, she needs B. I agreed that I would do that. I think it's a reasonable request she's making. Mm-hmm. And what does that lead you to feel?
Supported, loved.
Yes.
Like a great example yesterday, I have my therapy sessions on Thursdays. And I try to go after my therapy sessions and try to have like a couple hours downtime to process everything, not just go get the kids from school and then take them to cheer and then cook dinner. And I've told you right over and over, like, oh my gosh, I just need support, more support that day. And like, you were fantastic, EJ. Like from the moment I was done with my therapy session, you did all of the carpooling, you checked in on me. Like it was awesome. Right. And that's because I told you what I needed. And I probably said it a few times. And yeah, that's okay.
And she had to. I didn't show up in the way that I wanted to a couple times. And I had to hear it. And I had to then also hold myself responsible, because it's like, she didn't expect me to mind read. She freaking told me. I forgot or wasn't mindful enough. But eventually we worked through it. And now, like, I feel like I'm on that. Well, I'm doing my best to be on that because I want you to feel supported.
Yes. And again, here's the reframe, right? The could be instead of the don't is like, okay, instead of like, EJ, you should have known, right? It's, hey, I really want you to know when I need support. And I would love to be able to set up a system or talk to you about that so we don't have to fall into these traps anymore.
Yeah. And then my response is like, yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah. I want to be there for you. If you tell me what you need, I'm going to do my best to show up for you in those ways.
Thank you. Love that.
Love it.
All right. Final example. And
final
we hear
example.
It all the
time. This is the classic chores fight, the distribution of labor in the household. Hit it, Tara.
Why are the dishes not done yet?
I literally just walked in the door. Like, I can't do them before I get here.
Okay, so note, now we're not even fighting about the dishes. Now we're fighting about respect, appreciation, stuff that happened in 2015. Like, it all the dishes go out the window and it brings back a ton of old stuff. Just know that it's not really about the dishes.
Yes. So there's a, okay, we can clean this up on both sides, but we'll clean it up first on my response. So you can go ahead and you can be hot still.
Okay.
So
why are the dishes not done yet? Why? I do everything. Do you want me to really go? Like, I could do it.
I do it all.
I could go into my thing. I do everything around here.
I hear you, honey. If you just give me like 5 minutes to settle in, that will be like the first thing I do.
I love that.
And in that, I'm taking care of my own needs as well. Like,
right.
Like the expectation isn't that I literally like sprint from my truck to the sink, but I'm saying like, okay, I hear that that's important to you. Give me 5 minutes to like take off my shoes, take my coat off. I will do that because I agreed to do that.
So here's what's important. So this example is I'm still coming in hot. Right. But you're responding in a different way. So the outcome is going to be different. So we're not saying that both partners have to have these excellent communication skills and like go in soft and not hot. If there's just one person that responds differently in a healthier way, the outcome will be different. Great if two can be, because in that moment, right, instead of like, did you do the dishes, which just feels ugh. It's like, hey, honey, you know, like when I get home and I see dishes in the sink, like it makes me really anxious. Like I do get anxious. I grew up with a mom who had OCD, but that's, I feel like that's more soft for you to hear instead of did you do the dishes versus, hey, I've got to let you know when I come home and I see the dishes in the sink, I get really anxious and overwhelmed. And it would feel really helpful if like you could be in this with me.
It's easier for me to hear that. I might still be reactive, but she lowers the chance because she's not coming in super hot. And it does. It makes it easier for me then to be like, okay, yeah, probably the same healthy response, hopefully. Okay, just give me like 5 minutes, settle in. I'll get those dishes spickety span taken care of.
Again, you guys know if you've been listening to us just today or like for the 6 years we've been doing our podcast, like we keep getting better at it. We're still not perfect. We don't ever want to be perfect, but it is all about learning the tools to communicate instead of defensiveness, to be more heart holding. Yeah. And to know that it's the we in this, like if you're fighting and you're constantly disconnected because of communication, you can take the exact same situation we're talking about, shift it a little. It's a skill set. and things are going to feel so much better. And we know from experience, we know from all of the couples we work with.
Yeah. And I think what it means so much to couples, what's means so much to individuals within couples, it means so much to each of us, is when we see the other person trying to do things differently. Yeah. It doesn't mean that like she has to get it right or I have to get it right every single time we have one of these conversation patterns happen.
Yeah.
But if we're trying, or even if we're catching ourselves, if like I come in hot about a topic and communicate it in a ineffective way, and I say, hey, what I did was just abrupt and I think it probably hurt your feelings. Can I try again?
Yes. And I will say this too. We still have these misses, but now we can both be like, hey, I got to let you know, we just missed this validation moment. Like it happened right before the podcast series. I had sent you this cute text today and I was like, did you read my text? Right.
And I said something like, oh, I was editing in that moment and I didn't respond.
Because I was like, oh, you read my text and I didn't hear back from you. And it made me feel sad. And you immediately went to like, and I said, EJ, you missed the validation part. And then you said it again. So we can teach each other too in those moments, because we're just, right? If like you identify with any of these examples, congrats, you're human.
And it's so important to say like, and you're also stacking skills, because it takes mindfulness for me to be aware of like, because I just instantaneously was like, oh, I just told her what I was doing that kept me from doing it. And it takes mindfulness for me to be like, oh, actually, she's just looking for me to acknowledge that she sent me a sweet text and I didn't respond and that felt a little empty.
So again, we're super excited. Today was all about the don'ts, but the could be's. We identified some common communication mistakes, totally normal, and maybe why we do them. And then the part two is going to be all about validation and active listening. Again, it's harder than it sounds. And then the part three is all going to be about understanding our triggers and repair attempts, but slowing down the reactivity so we can understand what's really happening in the moment, right? There's some deeper triggers that could be happening in certain patterns that you see in your relationship, and we're there to help.
Yeah. And that's why like these next 2 weeks are going to be great, because they're going to be talking in much more in-depth ways with solid tools, solid ways to approach things differently about exactly what we talked about today.
And then we just want to share, because this is new and it's 2026, and EJ and I, we want to reach as many couples as possible to learn the skills, to build emotional safety, to get the connection that they want. As most of you know, we have our Relationship Renovation at Home Manual available on Amazon, which is great. Couples work through it together at home. But we also have a membership where you can even dive deeper, and we're actually reducing that to $25 a month. And with that, you'll purchase the Amazon workbook, and then you also can become a subscriber to the Relationship Renovation at Home community. EJ and I will be doing 2 lives a month to answer any Q&A. We have all of the videos that go deeper into all of the different lessons and what may happen and how you can avoid common pitfalls.
Yeah, we'll interact with you through Patreon, ask questions, and we have had a ton of feedback of people for the last couple of years. This is a different iteration of our at-home program, but our at-home program has changed lives for people all over the world.
And we just wanted to be a more like intimate part of the Relationship Renovation at Home. That's why we're creating our new like podcast community. You can become a free podcast subscriber.
Yep.
You can have the Patreon membership for the Relationship Renovation at Home community, where you have more access to the deeper videos and live Q&As twice a month.
Yep. And there's links to all of those in our show notes. So there's a link to the at-home book, a link to Patreon. You know, you can get right there. Just drop down into those show notes and click it.
We're also going to be posting more in Patreon around like daily, Monday through Friday, obviously, like daily relationship tips. So again, $25 a month, which is like 3 cups of coffees now a day, right? We're trying to make it affordable, but also like where you want to hold yourselves accountable a little because you're paying something. We're going to have daily relationship tips, go deeper into the R&R at home manual that you're doing at home, answer questions, respond if you get stuck. We're just here for you. And that is like our global mission in the 2026.
Absolutely.
So again, thank you for listening. As always, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Me and you just singing on the train. Me and you listening to the rain. Me and you, we are the same.